Welcome to Turning Two with Mike Jankowicz and Alex Metz, podcasting live from the not-so-baseball capital of the world, Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, here's Mike and Alex.
Welcome back. This is Turning Two. This is June 9th, 2012, episode one of a two-part series. And as always, I am Alex Metz, sitting across from Mike Jankowicz. Mike, it feels like it's been a while for some reason.
It has. You know, we've had a pretty busy couple weeks here, you and I.
We have, yeah.
Both getting engaged.
Yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations to you, sir.
It was quite a fun 2 weeks that we had there, celebrating and stuff, taking a little bit of time off after I just had a vacation also. So that was nice. But so today is June 9th, 2012, a Saturday, which is seems like when we're going to be recording from now on, so you guys can expect some updates over the weekend moving on out here. But we feel like we owe it to you guys, after taking a little bit of time off, that we're going to give you more bang for your buck here.
Definitely.
So this is part one of a two-part episode here for June 9th, 2012. Before we get into that, though, if you want to reach us, the email is turningtwopodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to talk to us on Twitter, my handle is Alex_Metz, M-E-T-Z, and Mike's is at M Jankowicz, J-A-N-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z. This episode, we're going to talk about two guys that had some interesting things going on in the majors the past couple weeks, and we're definitely going to touch on this Mike Trout-Bryce Harper media battle that is ensuing recently. Which Harper is
not a fair fight.
Which Harper is winning handily, but not really necessarily Mike Trout's fault. But we'll get into that later. And then in episode two, we're going to talk about three teams in the majors right now that are doing things that they're not supposed to be. Let's put it that way.
Put it like that.
So that should be interesting. But first, first guy we want to talk about today, and this happened a couple weeks ago. We didn't even really get a chance to talk about that. But we really wanted to bring up and have good discussion about Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles. He recently was signed by signed an extension with the Orioles at the tune of 6 years, $85.5 million, and that'll take him through 2018. Mike, how old is he?
Well, he's been around forever, so it feels like he's a lot older than he is, but he's still only 26 years old.
That surprises me.
Yeah, I mean, it is his it's his seventh season in the bigs. He debuted at age 20. So, you know, he's still very young, and, you know, the career numbers so far are uninspiring. They're, not something that you'd expect to see from a guy who just made $85 million.
Yes.
Career 277 hitter, 321 on base, 449, slugging, good for a 770 OPS.
Now, let me just preface our discussion here by saying that in by no means do we feel that these guys do not, well, some of them don't, but we don't feel like they're necessarily not earning their paycheck. We would never, you know, wish bad financial situations upon anyone. Adam Jones seems like a pretty good guy who came from, I don't know if he came from a rough upbringing or not, I don't really know his background all that well, but you know, $85.5 million, he's going to be pretty much set for life here with a deal like that. Although we've seen major leaguers throw tons of money away in the past, I don't think that he's necessarily like that. However, 6 years, $85.5 million. I don't, like, what? I don't really know how else to say it.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of people's reaction when this this deal came down.
Was it? Because the way that I saw it, people loved this deal.
Well, there were two schools of thought. There were people who were saying, like, are you serious? Like, that seriously just happened?
Yeah.
And then there are people on the other end of it saying, are you serious? That's all he got?
See, I think that it was more of not like that's all he got. The sentiment from them was like, oh my God, you guys, they signed him at a great price.
Yeah.
Did they? I don't think that they did.
Well, let's take a look, because it is, when that's the first thing you think. When you see the overall offensive numbers, it's not somebody you would think would be making that kind of cash.
Right.
So And also, now, what really seems to have spurred the contract, or what, you know, seems to have them, you know, getting it done now, is that he is just destroying the baseball so far this year.
Yeah, the Orioles made a preemptive strike on here, and I'm not one to lambash a general manager, especially one what's his name, Dave Duquette? Is he the right Duquette? I always get them confused.
I think it's...
Because Jim's the former GM, now broadcaster, and no, it's Dan Duquette.
Dan,
that's right. Dan, yes, I'm not one to lambash a GM because he took the Red Sox to the promised land after 80 some years, so he knows how to get it done. But it seems to me like they overpaid a little bit.
Well, it does at first glance, but let's take a look at his numbers so far this year to see, you know, why maybe now the Orioles chose to make that kind of investment. Through today, June 9th, he's hitting .297, .344 on base, .565 slugging, good for a .909 OPS, 16 home runs, 35 RBIs, 9 stolen bases.
Pretty impressive.
So now you look at it and you say, okay, you know, if that's the player that they're getting in the deal, then they win this deal in a landslide, because he would obviously be worth probably twice that. You know, if he were to continue, if that's just the player he was.
Right. But then you look at his career numbers.
Right. And those numbers, again, are .277, .321, .449, only a .770 OPS.
It's like, basically, they took his numbers this season and cut them in half.
Yes. So, it's kind of interesting. It brings up a lot of interesting points, because the one thing is, now he's only 26 years old, as we said earlier. Hitters typically peak 26, 27 years old.
Right.
So it is entirely possible that this could be the new level of production that we're going to be seeing from Adam Jones.
Correct.
In which case, it's a pretty awesome deal for the Orioles.
Now, let me ask you this. Was Adam Jones coming up on a free agent year here with,
he was.
With the Orioles?
This is a contract year for
okay,
him.
So.
There was actually some talk about him getting traded.
Right.
You know,
There was talk about him getting traded early on in the year.
Yeah, he was looking to be trade bait. Obviously, you know, Orioles are playing really well. They're in, you know, I think, second place now.
Well, they're in third place now, but they're only a game out of first.
Oh, okay.
So, but, you know, the AL East is seemingly going to be tight all year, so.
Right. But nobody thought the Orioles were going to be in that position.
Right.
Including probably the Orioles themselves.
Well, if you remember last season, they had a hot start also.
They did. And I do remember that.
They were in first place for a good while before they fell completely off the map. So one could draw the conclusion that maybe this is just them playing with fool's gold again. But, you know, there seems to be a little bit more, I don't want to say swagger because I hate that word, but it seems like they're playing with more of a purpose this year.
Well, and they're also getting some great production out of some players, you know, washed up prospects who are still pretty young, like Chris Davis. I think Chris Davis is still only 26 years old.
Right,
he's playing killing
for,
the ball.
Yeah, because he just kind of got lost in the shuffle in Texas there.
Yeah. Yeah, Texas, the deepest major league and minor league system in the league, didn't have room for them. And, you know, turns out they gave up a pretty good guy. I mean, I think they'll be okay, but...
Right.
So, you know, you got him...
Can we just take a sidebar here? We talked about this the other day. Just how much the Texas Rangers cleaned up on that Mark Teixeira to Atlanta back in 2007.
They took the Braves and they basically raped them.
And bent them over the barrel. It was, they got Jared Saltalamacchia,
right.
Neftali Feliz, Elvis Andrus, among others, and cash for Mark Teixeira, who stayed for a year.
Yeah.
And was traded the next year.
Was it even that? Was it even like just a couple months?
It was a year and a half, I think.
Oh, it was a year and a half?
Yeah, he played the half of the year in 2007 when he got traded, and then he played the full 2008 season, and then he hit free agency and went to the Yankees.
Did they even make the playoffs those years?
No. No.
They sold their whole future for a year and a half of
Welcome to the big leagues.
Tex.
Unbelievable.
Text. Anyways,
just a quick sidebar, because we were discussing how funny that was.
That really is funny. Now all those are, you know, all those guys are now contributing at the major league level in a big way, so it's kind of funny.
Which trade led to them not having room for guys like Chris Davis, who is now playing for the Baltimore Orioles.
Exactly. And then, you know, you got Nolan Reimold, who's been hurt, but, I mean, he was killing it at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Nick Markakis, now hurt, you know, he was killing it also.
Right. It looks like those guys aren't going to be out for for too long. I mean, Reimold's had some bulging disc problems, but it looks like he's coming back from that soon. So they definitely have some guys there that can do the damage and possibly keep them in it if they stay healthy.
So all of that led to Adam Jones not being traded and basically being extended through 2018.
And being handed a bag of money by the Monopoly man.
Big bag of cash for the Monopoly man. So, now there is one other interesting thing to this, too.
Uh-huh.
We mentioned the career numbers, the 770 career OPS. Now, he's gotten off to a hot streak to start the season, very similar to the one that he's on now.
Okay.
To start the season back in his only All-Star campaign in 2009.
Yes.
He's All-Star, won the Gold Glove that year.
Right.
He started out 2009 through May 25th, which was right around when he signed this deal.
Mm-hmm.
He was hitting .359, .416, .647 slugging. Jeez. And he finished the season hitting much closer to his career numbers at .277, .335, .457.
And by much closer, we mean identical.
Basically identical. Yeah. So he got off to this amazing start before, and he came back down to earth. So the question is really going to be,
can he keep it up?
Is this the new Adam Jones, or is he merely just on a hot streak?
Hot start Adam Jones.
Hot start Adam Jones, you know? We don't know.
Well, we don't really know. And that's why I think they made a little bit of a gamble here.
Yeah.
Now, we kind of talked about this in a previous episode when we talked about the Matt Cain deal that he got earlier this year, that he, out of nowhere, even though he ended up looking at his numbers, he ended up being a comparable pitcher to Cole Hamels, who is the big fish in this current free agent market.
You wouldn't think it.
You would not think it. And he ended up getting, what, 6 years, 115?
Yeah, something around there.
And we were just like, really? For Matt Cain?
Yeah.
And then you look at it, and you're like, oh, wow, that makes sense. Jones, on the other hand, 6 years, 85 and a half, and then you look at his career numbers, and you're like, okay, now maybe they actually are overpaying a little bit. This is one that you look at and you say, you know, what I would say to people saying that they got him on a steal here at 6 years, 85 and a half, I say no. Maybe if you signed him to this deal, maybe if you signed him to 4 years at maybe 55 and a half or 45 and a half, maybe 2 years ago in 2009 when he made the All-Star team, that's a steal.
Yeah.
6 years, 85 and a half when he's putting up numbers that were comparable to that before he fell off after the All-Star break. I just don't really see the logic. I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah.
Worth 6 year deal? I don't really know.
Well, that's exactly what I thought. I think we even started texting each other and we were like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
Like, how did this happen?
Right.
So that was my exact reaction. Then I took a look at it, and now I'm not a huge fan of the WAR stat, the wins above replacement, but when everything else breaks down, when you're on the fence about something, I do feel like it is kind of valid to take a look and see how he's represented in that stat.
Yeah.
And he's actually represented really well through his outstanding defense that he plays in center field.
Correct.
So, if you don't know, the monetary value of WAR, one win above replacement, is $5 million. So for every win that he is above replacement, he's worth approximately $5 million. So since 2009, he's finished with a WAR of 2.4, 2.1, 2.8, and so far 2.1 this season.
Mm-hmm.
So considering those numbers, he's actually been worth about $12.5 million a season. Okay. When you break it down by WAR, which is a pretty kind of surprising, you know what I mean? You don't when you look at the offensive numbers, you don't really see that, but when you look at the total package, it actually tells a different story. So, considering that that his new deal pays him an average of $14.25 million a season, he's actually really only making a little more than he's been worth over the past four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when you look at it like that, you say, oh, wow. And he has this, you know, and he's still only 26. He has all this potential to hit these outstanding offensive numbers as well. When you look at it like that, you're kind of like, wow, actually, that might be a really good deal.
Correct. And we know Dan Duquette being kind of linked to the Red Sox winning that title in 04 and being linked to the whole Moneyball thing and everything like that. It makes you wonder if they did this exact if they did this exact equation and just went, okay, well, we'll give him a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
to make it, you know.
Even if he regresses back to his career numbers, mm-hmm. you still took a little bit of a gamble and paid him a little more than he's worth, but you're also, you know, taking that gamble and possibly being able to reap huge returns if he can manage to keep these offensive numbers up.
So the question is, can he keep the numbers up?
Well, that's what we're going to find out. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball or anything, but I would think if he doesn't at least keep hitting at that pace, I do think now that he's entering his prime years, I do think we're going to see a little bit more from him. So I think at the very least that he's going to be worth that $14.25 million.
Something you did say, though, about his WAR is that it is as high as it is. Well, I mean, 2.4 or whatever. I mean, it's not that high, but it's pretty high for a guy who's with career numbers like that, which leads us to believe that it's due to his defense.
Right.
I mean, we talk about defense all the time, about how we would just gladly just throw defense out the window to get guys that rake in the lineup. I think that comes from us being fans of NL teams and not really watching the AL on a consistent basis, where that's not as much of a factor because of the DH. But how much stock can you really put into him being worth $12.5 million a season due to, it seems, seemingly from a lot of from his defense? I mean, like, how much should that really matter to a ball club when looking to sign a player?
Well, in my opinion, I think a lot of that depends on what position does that player play.
Now, center field is a pretty important position.
If I want to have defense anywhere, it's going to be up the middle.
Yeah.
So I'm more inclined to suffer from some bad corner defense than, you know, you want to be strong up the middle. So I think that him giving you that, I think it is pretty legitimate. And I think you also, when we talk about Adam Jones being not a great offensive performer, he really takes a huge hit in his on-base percentage.
Right.
This is a guy who can hit 20 home runs a year. He does it pretty regularly. So you're still getting 20 home runs a year, some steals. You know, he's got some speed and some great center field defense.
But look at a guy who has a ton of speed that could benefit even more from it at a stats standpoint if he would just get on base some more.
Oh, absolutely.
Which leads me to believe he's either A, just not walking, or B, just striking out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Well, I don't have his strikeout numbers, but I know he doesn't walk a lot.
Right.
And he's a guy, you know, he hits a decent average. He hits about, what was his career?
277.
277 career hitter.
It's not terrible.
And then his on-base percentage is only 321.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, that leaves a lot to be desired. You know, you want to be a lot more than that. You probably want to be at least 350. So
I just, you know, I look at everything you're saying, and I agree with it, and the WAR thing really does make sense to me. I just, if I'm the Orioles, paying a kid that much money at that age when he really has improved a ton, I don't know if I do that.
I think it was a good gamble. I was thinking exactly like you were.
We'll see if it pays off.
But looking at the whole package now, and his age really does it for me. He's only 26. I mean, he's still got room to grow. That's what I think we really kind of forget. This guy's been in the league for 7 years, but he's 26.
But what have we seen from guys who get the big deal a lot of the times? You want them to grow. You take the gamble. You pay them the big money because you think that they're going to evolve into the star player. And then they get paid, and they kind of just sit on their ass and get the paycheck. And I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that is going to happen with Adam Jones, but it could, you know? And I think that's a big part of the gamble that I don't really sit well with. I'm more for paying a guy who's done it a couple times and you've seen him be able to do it and take that gamble and say, okay, give him the trip. You know, like an Adrian Beltre or even Reyes, you know, he went off the charts last season. He got paid.
Yeah.
His numbers are pretty good this year.
Well, he's getting better.
So far.
He got off to a rough start.
You know, but I just, only really having one year where he was an all-star, and that was from a slash line that only had not even 2 months of play.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like they're paying a lot of money for not really having much information to work with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's risky, but again, if you look at it in terms of his defense, how risky is it?
Well, I guess it just depends how much you put into defense in center field.
Yeah, and it is interesting. It really depends on how you look at this deal. I think that's why there's two such varying schools of thought on this, is because that you could make an argument both ways, but, you know. I don't know if I'm going to get you to look at it the way I am, but,
right.
and that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think, and also, it's not like they gave him $150 million.
No, yeah, you're right. It's not, they didn't go triple digits, which I like, but, you know. To wrap it up, Mike seems to like the deal a lot. I don't hate it as much as I could, but I also think that it's pretty risky putting a team's future, a struggling team's future, who has been struggling mightily for a long time now, on a guy who just hasn't really proved it totally.
Especially yet. If this team regresses to what we thought they were going into the season.
Exactly.
I mean, what use do they have for a guy like that?
Exactly. But looking at the standings right now, they're only a game out of first behind two pretty good teams.
Hey, it's June,
And two pretty good teams sitting behind them looking to move up. So
it's June now. We can't just look at everything as, oh, it's a small sample size. It's June. These guys have been winning for a while now.
Exactly. So we'll see if they can keep it up. All right, guy number two, Jason Kipnis of the Cleveland Indians.
God, I love Jason Kipnis.
25-year-old second baseman there. I got to be honest with you, Mike. I don't really follow the Cleveland Indians too much, and I don't know how much of our listeners do. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this kid and where the hell he came from? Because he's just doing crazy things right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top prospect. He came up last year and surprised everybody. Just hit a bunch of home runs. I came up, I think it was August. It's late in the season last year, and he really took everybody by surprise. You know, he's been their everyday second baseman starting out this year, and so far he's hitting .281, .341, .446, 9 home runs, 36 RBIs, and where he's getting a ton of value right now that he didn't really do a lot of this in the minor leagues, he has 14 steals. So, you know, he's really tearing it up on the base paths. He's actually leading all of Major League Baseball with, or leading the American League with 14 steals. So, you know, he's doing a really good job, and at 25 years old, and with his prospect status, the whole package together, you know, he's just looking like he's maybe even by the end of this year being in, you know, one of the top three second basemen in all of baseball.
Does his name rhyme with Utley a little bit? Is that who this guy reminds you of a tad?
A little bit. I mean, you know,
when he came up back in the day,
just took the league by storm.
Yeah,
you know, he's a really good player though, and I just wanted to point him out. You know, I don't have much to say about him aside from, you know, I just wanted to throw out his numbers and just talk a little bit about, you know, what we can expect from him.
Well, and Cleveland is reaping the benefits right now because they're only half a game out in the Central, right behind the Chicago White Sox, who we'll get into in part two of this episode, but. They're, you know, Cleveland's playing good ball, and this guy seems to be a big reason why.
Yeah, definitely, and they also have some good young players between Carlos Santana,
right.
Shin-Soo Chu, Jason Kipnis, Asdrubal Cabrera is having a great year also. You know, they got some really good players, and they could be a team to be reckoned with for the long haul here. But, you know, I just wanted to point it out because Jason Kipnis is a guy who's not really even anywhere close to one of the first three guys you'd think about. But when you think about what he's capable of, the numbers aren't quite there yet. But by the end of the year, he could be in the same conversation with Ian Kinsler, Robinson Cano, Dustin Pedroia, you know, as the best second basemen in all of baseball.
It's really interesting to think about there. So possibly a top three second baseman by the end of the year.
That's what I'm saying.
Who is he really going to surpass out of those three guys, though? Because those are the three guys that I think of.
I hate to say it.
Petey. What is going on with him?
Well, he got off to a good start.
He did.
And then I'm not sure if the injury happened and then he started tanking or if he just started to slump a little bit. But right around the time that he was hurt, he was sitting right at an 800 OPS. And then he sat out for 6 games and now he's come back and I think he's like 1-17 or something. You know, he's playing with a thumb injury. So it's kind of hard to say if he's just having a bad year overall or if it's more of this injury that's really killing him. But
it seems like every year we keep saying at the start of the season, Pedroia, he's gonna win the MVP this year, and it just, you know, we did it last year and he didn't get it, and then
even when you look at his MVP year,
right,
there was no other choice,
right.
And he had good numbers, like really good numbers, but I mean it's not like he was like a world beater,
right?
You know, it's just he's kind of a little underwhelming right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of disappointing me a little bit.
And Kinsler has kind of come out of his struggled years on top big
Definitely.
Time. After last season, kind of two seasons ago, he was just brutal. He was hurt, just all kinds of bad stuff going on with him, and people were wondering, maybe is this guy the real deal? Comes back last season, has a monster
30-30 year.
30-30 year, and he's coming back, and he's well on his way again, so I think Kinsler definitely deserves to be there. Kipnis, though, that's interesting.
It is, because he's gonna sneak up on everybody, man. Like, it's just like, you don't even notice what he's doing, but, like, he's actually playing really well.
Okay, so three AL second baseman in that conversation. Mm-hmm. Is the NL just void of quality second baseman now? The only guy that comes to mind who's really doing any sort of work is Ugla.
Yeah, I just don't like him.
Well, I know you don't, but have you looked at what he's done so far?
Yeah, he's a masher.
It's impressive.
He's going to hit a lot of home runs.
And yeah, the average isn't really there, but he's mashing the ball, and his RBI totals are insane right now.
Yeah, Ugla's good. I don't think he's close to either of them. And when you look at the total package with what Kipnis has given you from steals, mm-hmm. I think he's better than Ugla, because Ugla will give you one or two a year.
So let's try and find some other NL candidates, because I think that's just fair.
Ricky Weeks is dead.
Brandon Phillips.
He's in the conversation, but I still don't think he'd be ahead of any of those three.
He seems like he's his deal is more defense anyways.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of more NL second basemen.
They would come to mind if they were important.
But they don't, especially with guys like Cano and Kinsler and Pedroia, yeah. And now maybe Kipnis. You know, you can't really... they don't really jump out as you as much as you would think.
Yeah, and then Utley, you know... Let's not even get started on Utley.
Well, he's mashing in the minors right now, so we'll see what happens when he comes up, if he can contribute at all to a struggling Phillies team, but we're not going to get into that. We're going to move on, though, to the conversation that I've been so excited to have with you.
And that is
Mike Trout and Bryce Harper. The two phenoms.
Yes.
And I hate the word phenom. I really do. I hate a lot of the words that these guys use.
The talking heads
use about these things. Phenom is one of them. Swagger is another word.
Definitely.
Just overused cliche. Anyways, I don't want to complain. Well, you know what? Screw that. I'm going to complain.
No, we're going to complain a little bit.
So, what we wanted to talk about here is these two guys, both called up this year, a little bit earlier than everybody thought that they would end up in the majors
a lot earlier
this season.
Especially Bryce.
Yeah. That was more due to injury, but it seems like he's here to stay.
Definitely.
But every headline, you know, you turn on SportsCenter... Harper's there. You turn on MLB Network, Harper's there.
Yeah.
You know, you turn on the radio, people are talking about Bryce Harper. Oh, I love this kid. He just plays so hard. And I don't want to take anything away from him.
Yeah.
Because he really is an excellent player. He's probably going to be a superstar in the league. And I really can't say anything bad about how he plays the game, because he plays the game right.
Definitely.
And that seems to be everybody's, you know, what everybody says about him. But he's just everywhere, and it annoys me.
Yeah.
And it's not because he plays for a rival team,
mm-hmm.
and it's not because he is, you know, it has nothing to do with that. It's just...
It's how he got everywhere.
It's how he got everywhere, and it's just, it's more of the media's way, and they do this a lot, is where they pick a guy,
yeah.
and they just latch.
They just latch on, like Tebow.
Bryce Harper is the Tim Tebow of Major League Baseball.
He absolutely is.
All the way to the eye black, to the, you know, being in GQ and his commercials and just his, you know, everything. It's just, it's like, you know, this past football season it was Tebow, Tebow, Tebow.
Right.
This year in Major League Baseball it's Harper, Harper, Bryce Harper. And that's fine, but...
But...
What should be, and it probably is, the number one ranked scout, or number one ranked prospect by scouts in Major League Baseball right now, Mike Trout, is over in LA, and we're going to do a little comparison here.
Okay.
Because they've been in the majors for about the same amount of time.
I think they came up, like, on the same day.
They had their first game on the same exact day.
Yeah. So, and Trout, alright, let's say this before we do this.
Okay.
Trout is 1 year older. He's 20. Okay, he's 20 freaking years old.
Okay. Harper's doing this at 19, which is impressive in its own right, definitely.
And Trout did see big league action last year for like 30 games, 40 games, something like that.
All things considered, I don't give a crap about
me neither.
That.
I don't care.
So
I don't care at all.
Let's move on.
I'm comparing them on a level playing field.
Right, so we just wanted to bring that up, but we're moving past that. We really don't care. So, 2012, why don't you go ahead and give me Bryce Harper's numbers throughout his major league career this season?
Okay. He's hitting .288, mm-hmm. .367, .532, .899 OPS.
Awesome.
Great.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. 6 home runs, 17 RBIs, 3 steals.
Okay. Now, that's all well and good.
Great numbers.
Fantastic numbers. If I'm a Bryce Harper fantasy owner, I'm happy.
Yeah.
If I am a Washington Nationals fan, I'm beyond ecstatic.
Definitely.
If I am a media member, though, I feel that I am doing a great injustice.
Absolutely.
And this is why. Let's hear Mike Trout's numbers for this year.
He's hitting 340 with a 390, 398 on base. 544 slugging, good for a 942 OPS.
Oh my god!
5 home runs, 22 RBIs.
And here's the kicker.
Here's the real kicker. 11 steals. And that's what he brings. Mike Trout is a legitimate five-tool prospect.
Threat.
He's going to hit you at least 20 home runs, and he's going to steal at least 20 bases, and that's being conservative. So
in an exercise of fairness, let's go number by number. Mike Trout batting 340, Bryce Harper batting 288. Again, nothing really to complain about there. I mean, Trout, that's just a shit. 340 is at a ridiculous average, but 288 is not bad by any means.
No, not at all.
The 398, 367, those are pretty comparable. The 544, 532, again, pretty close. The OPS is where it just goes off the charts.
Well, that's in large part to the on-base, you know,
true.
Disparity.
True. 942 to an 899. An 899 is not bad by any means.
It's pretty awesome.
But the RBI total is up. The stolen base total is way up. He's right there with home runs. I mean, so what we're getting at here is, why is Trout getting shafted?
Yeah,
royally?
Like, people don't even know who Mike Trout is. But then you say Bryce Harper. I was like, oh, Bryce Harper. What's Bryce Harper doing?
Oh, my God. He's sliding into
Bryce
home.
Harper. Oh, yeah. But, like, Mike Trout has been the better player. And they're basically on the same career path.
Right.
And they have the same, you know, depending on what prospect site you'd look at, they were either ranked number one or number two, with some ranking Mike Trout ahead of Bryce Harper. The smart ones, in my opinion, because I think, Bryce is going to be awesome, but I think Trout is, you know, going to be the better player in the end.
I mean, look, think about it this way. Bryce Harper was brought up to the major leagues when he was because of injury concerns. Mm-hmm. Mike Trout was brought up to the major leagues because he was batting 421 in AAA, even though they had an influx of Bobby Abreu, Mark
right.
Trumbo, Albert Pujols, Kendrys Morales, all at the corners. He forced them to call him up,
definitely.
And now people are sitting. Actually, Bobby Abreu was cut because of this.
Cut. They didn't even want to try to trade him anymore. They were like, we just got to let you go, Bobby.
It's so mind-numbingly unbelievable that he is not even mentioned.
I know. Nobody knows who he is. I want to use Danny as an example.
Okay.
My brother-in-law, Danny, big Nationals fan,
mm-hmm.
loves Bryce Harper,
mm-hmm.
talks about him all the time,
mm-hmm.
and that's great. And I was trying to tell him about, I was like, dude, have you seen what Mike Trout was doing? We had a conversation on the phone the other day. He's like, no, Mike Trout. He's like, who's Mike Trout? And, like, that's pretty much exactly what I'm talking about. Like, how do you – I just don't understand. Now, Danny's not, you know, a huge baseball fan, but he's definitely watching, you know, SportsCenter. He's definitely watching the highlights. He's seeing what's going on. Why do people not know who Mike Trout is? That upsets me. It upsets me because he's an awesome player, and he's going to get better, and it's just weird. I think my gripe is not at either of the players. It's about the media and their freaking bullshit. Like, what is the deal with that? It's so frustrating.
It doesn't seem like there's really a reason, but here's the only thing that I can attribute to is the Tebow comparison that we made, which is, here's a guy who is, you know, a little brash.
Yeah.
You know, he gets the reputation because he blew a kiss, you know, to a pitcher in the minors, and, you know,
he's got the eye black.
He runs the eye black down his face, which is fine.
He's a power hitter.
That doesn't really bother me as much. Harper is a big power. He's more of a power threat than Trout is, though Trout's probably, like you said, going to hit you 20 home runs a year.
At least.
And then they put him in GQ magazine in the article where he's
really in GQ.
Oh, he was. Oh, you haven't seen this?
I haven't seen that.
You should check it out because there are some photos that are pretty interesting.
Oh, where he put the baseball in his mouth.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, I honked. Yeah, I saw that.
So,
yeah.
So they. And it goes back to the Tebow thing, you know? Tebow, he's got the Bible verses on his eye black, you know? He's such a lightning rod for whatever reason. But the only reason they make these guys are lightning rods in conversations and why it gets people talking is because the media makes you think that they are.
Yeah, you know, and they're controversial for one reason or another.
But they use factors that have nothing to do with his on-field performance to get you to think that way. And I just feel like they look at a guy like Mike Trout, who's a nice kid from Jersey, who just happens to be a fantastic baseball player. And then they look at Bryce Harper, who is, playing for a team that has never done anything yet.
Right.
And he can hit a lot of home runs, and he looks a little bit different than everybody else. And he seems like he's a little bit of a kind of a jerk, but we don't really know. I mean, I shouldn't really say that because
he's done an amazing job with his image. I have to been up applaud here, him on
he's
that.
Done a great job of being a very level-headed guy, but he kind of had a little bit of a reputation.
Yeah.
And I think ESPN and places like that, they look at these two guys and they just say Harper's the bigger star without even really letting them prove anything.
And the thing that really sucks about it is because it's an injustice to the game. It's an injustice to fair and balanced coverage. All they're trying to do here is sell soap,
Right.
He's going to bring in the bigger audience and blah, blah, blah. Well,
and isn't that what sports has really become in all leagues?
It's just such a joke.
Look at it. The Sidney Crosby thing in the NHL. I mean, the NBA with all their, LeBron James nonsense. And the NFL with the Tebow nonsense. It's just anything, fair or not, to get you to watch and to get you to pay attention. But the way I look at it as a fan, and the way I think you look at it as a fan who's been a fan of baseball for a long time, is that we don't need all that garbage. Mm-hmm.
You want to see what's going on with everybody. I mean, why would you want to turn on ESPN and see all this talk about one guy when there's the whole world going on outside of this? It just doesn't make any sense.
Granted, I don't really turn on ESPN anymore. I'm really because of things like this. So
I'm really taking shots at ESPN because I feel like even though MLB Network would probably cover Bryce Harper a little bit more, you're still going to get everything else.
But they do, and they actually cover Mike Trout pretty well. I was just taking shots at MLB Network earlier. I mean, that's not really fair. I actually really enjoy their coverage, and I turn them on. I turn the league-dedicated networks on way more now than I do ESPN because it's just so ridiculous.
It's
absurd. I read somewhere last week that in the past week, they spent 82.5 hours on the Miami Heat. And they spent 81 hours the entire season on the San Antonio Spurs.
Did you get that from Deadspin?
I think it was either Deadspin or Yahoo or something.
Yeah, Deadspin has this thing, because ESPN's based out of Bristol, Connecticut.
Yeah.
So they have this thing called Bristol Metrics.
Oh my god.
they killed Tebow with that. They were just oh my gosh. Oh Tebow my was, god. It was
So Tebow's got good Bristol Metrics?
Oh, his Bristol Metrics are
so
out of control.
So what are Bryce Harper's Bristol Metrics?
I don't know. I don't read it that often. I've just seen it on Twitter
We'll have to do some research and make an addendum for next episode to figure out Bryce Harper's Bristol Metrics.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
I'm sure they're off the charts.
I'm sure. And I'm sure compared to the rest of their baseball coverage, it's probably looking something like, 5-1. Right. You know what I mean? Or something absurd like that.
Seriously, you want to know what their baseball coverage is? Roger Clemens trial and 30-90 second highlight reels from games the previous night. And that's really all they mention
pathetic.
It's really bad now.
So bad.
So that's our rant.
Point of the story, don't watch ESPN. Don't do it. I know it's easy and that's just what you've grown up doing, but just don't do it.
I don't want to say don't watch ESPN. I just want to say that if you want to be a fan, just do it. Do your own. It's the same thing as voting. Be a smart voter when you go to the polls. You can't just watch the TV, learn about the candidates, and make the right decision. Now, I'm not saying Bryce Harper and Mike Trout should be fighting for some sort of best prospect supremacy title here, because that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, if you're going to know Bryce Harper, know this other kid too, because watch out, because he might surpass
him.
He's
better.
Yeah.
He's at least better right now.
And all of a sudden, ESPN in a year or two is going to go, look at Mike Trout, he's unbelievable. And here on 2 years earlier, we were saying, and a lot of people were saying, that whole time you were talking about Bryce Harper, he was actually playing better anyways.
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
Now, watch Mike Trout just tank and not be anything for his career.
We screwed him now. Screwed him big time.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for part one of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. But we're going to come right back, and we're going to bring you a little bit more. We're going to talk about the Detroit Tigers. We're going to talk about the Chicago White Sox. Mm. And we're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates. This is going to be ridiculous because the Pirates and the White Sox are just so unbelievably surprising.
I know, they're going to make us look bad because we didn't even spend a lot of time talking about them.
Yeah, we kind of swept them under the rug. However, we did point out that good old Jimmy Leland of those Detroit Tigers had something to say about the White Sox that is proving to be true.
Yes.
So we'll get on that in episode two. For the time being, though, turningtwopodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter, Alex_METZ, and at M Jankiewicz, JANKIEWICZ. We'll be right back with episode two.
Another thing.
Mike, what would you like to say?
I don't want to take the curtain off yet, but there's going to be a Turning 2 blog coming out, along with a Turning 2 website with our own domain.
Right.
And it's going to have our podcast, the blog. Me and Alex are going to write on it. $100 a sock, Chris, he's going to write on it a little bit.
Yeah, so, and it's not, well, I mean, we kind of, it's not like we're trying to be super serious with our podcast. We do try to create some elements of comedy and some stuff like that, and we're going to try and translate that to the blog too, do some more funny things, just try and, you know, have a little bit of fun with it. So the website and the blog is going to be up soon, and we'll let you know when it's up, and it's going to be really fun. So we hope you guys will keep listening and keep, you know, getting involved with us. It'll be cool.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so episode two coming right back. Stay tuned.